Chapter 8. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Part 2. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. This beatitude, resounding from the Holy Mount, is a great consolation to anyone who can fathom it. It would be illusory to conceive of these words as applying to the warped concepts of dialectics, for as we have seen, the righteousness of ordinary nature is dependent upon nationalities, peoples, races, manners, and customs. Besides, the time or the epoch in which we live also plays a very important part. Human justice was and is very changeable. By the justice of man, the children of God have been persecuted, broken on the rack, stoned and burned throughout the ages. By the justice of Calvin, who called himself a messenger of God, Michel Servet was murdered in a hideous way, and because of this atrocity, Calvinism has forfeited the right to identify itself with the sacred name of Jesus Christ, who is light and love. According to the justice of man, in our era, and what difference does a couple of thousands of years make in the great course of the Arian dispensation, millions of women have been tried as witches and victimized in the most horrible manner. However, let us turn away from these very gloomy pages of the historical record of human justice and examine the general human sentiments and practices of justice as they now exist for the masses and those who represent them. We then find the well-known dialectical capriciousness and opposites, which is convincing evidence that this kind of hunger for righteousness shall never be satisfied. God save us for that. This beatitude deals with the righteousness which is in and of the gnosis, with the divine righteousness which is the order of justice in the divine human state, the world of living souls. In that order everything is divinely perfect. In that order everything is wonderfully glorious. In that order all receive an equal share of the grace and the power of all of God's gifts and of God's entire ideation. It is an order which countless human beings have sought. Countless are those who have reflected upon this order of justice, having written poetry about it and sung of it. An infinite yearning and an equally infinite sorrow underlie all this, because in the beginning so many of them satiated their thirst for divine righteousness in dialectics, only to be left with the empty shell of their desires. The attributes of divine justice are without number. Everyone intuitively feels that love, joy, happiness, and harmony must be among them. But oh, what disappointment this hunger for righteousness has already caused in people who struggled to attain it. Hearts have often been trampled, and how in this respect things have turned into their opposites. This is why many a person has, in the end, seriously doubted the truth of this beatitude. Had they not truly hungered and thirsted for righteousness, while there had never been the slightest indication of being satisfied? Yet if there is one word in the holy language that is absolutely true, it certainly is this one, and a pupil of the Gnostic spiritual school will be able to understand it completely. However, divine righteousness does not find acceptance in dialectics. Divine righteousness cannot take form in matter, because the atomic structure of the light and the power which moves it is of a quite different nature to the righteousness of dialectics. Consequently, every effort to introduce and secure the divine righteousness along horizontal lines in our ordinary field of existence must, without exception, end in a negative result. It is perfectly useless even to try to make such an effort, because divine righteousness is not of this nature order. For this reason, a serious pupil of the Gnostic spiritual school turns to the divine order itself from the very beginning. This is made possible because he participates in a Gnostic living body. Thus, he is enabled to enter upon the path of liberation and to advance on it. As a prodigal son, he places his foot in the direction of the house of the Father. Filled with the power of faith and activation, he pursues this glorious aim with all his hunger and thirst for attainment. Then, without doubt, like in the parable, the Father comes from afar to meet him. The Gnostic fullness manifests itself to and in the young Gnostic brotherhood, even though it has hardly started on its way. Redundant streams flow forth over the being of those who participate in the group. This is the secret, the mystery of the sixth beatitude. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. May a great many realize this mystery within themselves. The achievement of this is granted to all those who truly hunger and thirst. It is for them that the fivefold Gnostic body was brought into manifestation in this dark world. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy.